Let's go ahead and take our Bibles up, opening them up to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there should be one right in front of you in between the hymnals. Hebrews chapter number 11. So as we've been going through our summers, we've been doing the summer Sundays, we've been doing something a little bit different. We've been spending Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday night on one specific topic. And we've also given out devotions that would apply to those throughout the week. Encourage you to take the devotions, fill those out, and just to be reiterating the things that you heard on Sunday and learned about. Now this Sunday, since a missionary speaking at Sunday school and missionary speaking at Sunday night, we don't have the chance to spend Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. So Sunday morning and Wednesday night will both be on a similar topic. Sometimes it's the same story, sometimes it's a specific topic, but we still have the devotions that are back there, and they're something that I believe a child that can fill out eight and above, and the encouragement is that everybody in the family take one, and they'd be talking about the Bible, talking about the Word of God. That's one thing that people, we love the Lord and things like that, but one thing that's lost is we talk about everything else but the Scriptures. And one way that we can encourage one another is by talking about the Scriptures, the things we've learned and things we've grown. So this morning's or today's topic or this week's topic is, and I have a couple of different titles because there's so many different things. One thing is an unknown people, but that doesn't really clarify what I'm looking at. And then it's an unnamed people. And then that kind of takes what we're talking about, but then there's others with no names. And so that's what we're looking at for the message this morning is others with no names. If you wanted a topic, it would be unnamed people in the Bible who made a significant difference. Unnamed people in the Bible who made a significant difference. If you say, what do you mean by that? Well, all throughout Scripture, there's people who made a difference whose names were never mentioned. You think about it, we go to Hebrews chapter number 11, and it's called many times the Hall of Faith, you know, compared to the Hall of Fame that you might have at a sports thing or franchise or whatever you call it. And then the Hall of Faith talks about many of the great members, people that live by faith, that God lifts up in the pages of Scriptures to tell us a story. They did this by faith, and they did this by faith, and they did this by faith. And it's huge. But at the end, some of the most inspiring words for me, they're just called, and others. Because we think about it, the Bible, you know, talks about all the way up to A.D., how much, you know, hundreds and different things like that. But for the last few thousand years, nobody's name has been written in the Bible. And there are many people that the furtherance of the gospel is still going on, the story is still going on. And if we asked everybody, who's your favorite Bible character? People might say Paul, people might say Jesus. That's an easy one. You should say, who's your favorite Bible character besides God? But, you know, who's your favorite? And, you know, some people might say James, some people might say Peter, some people might say a lady that's in there, Mary of Bethany. My favorite Bible character is Barnabas. And there's different reasons. You've heard me over the years talk about Barnabas. He's just he was an encourager. He was there. He was just willing to do whatever was necessary. Be the front man, be the second man. Work with the guy who turned around and left, or just be with the great Apostle Paul. It's just, I love the story of Barnabas. He was freely giving. My favorite Bible character that's a lady is Mary of Bethany. And she just seems like she was the one that got it. It didn't seem like anybody else really understood that Jesus was rising again, but she was the one that came and anointed his body for his burial. And she listened, but what do we know about her? She sat at the feet of Jesus. She sat at the feet of Jesus. But then I asked myself this question this week after studying, who's my favorite unnamed Bible character? He says, that's kind of dumb. Well, it's not dumb, because you think about it, more than likely, our names are never going to be in lights. Our names are never going to be something that is written in the headlines day after day after day. And there has been thousands, millions of Christians whose name was never going to be mentioned in the Bible, right, whose name is never going to be in the spotlight, that just faithfully serve the Lord day after day after day. And so today we're going to look at some of the unnamed Bible characters, or others with no names. Now, who are the great people in this world? Who are the great people on earth today? Some may say it's those whose names appear in the headlines, those that are talked most about on social media, maybe those who win trophies or break records in sporting events. See, I would disagree. I think the great people of the earth are those who allowed the Lord, the Creator, to be great in their lives. I think the person who is more concerned about what people think about God than what people think of them. Think about that. I think a person who cares more about what people think about God than what people think about them. What do you mean? Testimonies are important. Don't get me wrong. We don't want to go out and live wickedly, but we don't change our lives because we want people to think higher of us. We change our lives because we want God to think, be pleased with us. Now, we often hear this statement, and I've said this statement, more concerned about what God thinks about us more than what man thinks about us. And that is true. I'm more concerned what God thinks about us. But what do people think about God when you're around? What do you portray? Some people hear someone sing a song and they're like overwhelmed that, man, that person was great. And I love that. We had some beautiful special music from the choir to the Barretts to the Batemans to Miss Karen. Wonderful job this morning. But I don't think in their hearts they're saying, hey, look at me, lift me up. No, it's who can do this? Jesus can. It's about lifting up him. So with my life, I can show somebody something about Jesus Christ. How I live my life. That's why the Bible tells us, let our light shine. Why? So that they will glorify our Father, which is in heaven. If we live that blessed life, they're not going to see us. They're going to see what God is doing through us. And that's what these unnamed Bible characters are. They're not anyone they didn't have to have their names. And I thought about some of the unnamed Bible characters. Some of the devotions throughout the week is all about unnamed Bible characters. I thought about the lad who gave his lunch for Jesus and 5,000, we don't know what his name was. He's very famous in the Bible. I think about the widow that gave two mites. If I had a favorite unnamed Bible character, it would probably have been her. And he's like, why? She just was willing to give it all. And her name was never written down, but how much of a powerful lesson does it teach us about giving? And then you got unnamed Bible characters. I thought about the four that carried the man that was sick of the palsy, the four men that did that, that tore up the roof to drop him down. None of us know their names, but you know who did know their names? Was the man who carried them. Yes, God did too, but that man, it made a difference in that man's life. And then, once again, maybe you can think about this week, who would be your favorite unknown Bible character or the person who made the most impact in your life? And you can even think about some of the parables about the Good Samaritan and that Good Samaritan. He said, well, that's the parable. Well, Jesus tells us to go and do likewise. So we're supposed to have that thought process. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But then what comes to my mind is also, I think about the rich man in hell. We know Lazarus' name. I do not believe that is a parable. I think that's a true story. And then we think about the rich man. We don't know his name. Now, on earth, he was a rich man. He lived lavishly. He dressed in purple. He had much. When they did his funeral, it was probably a big thing. What did they do with Lazarus? They just carried him out. We don't know exactly where they put him at, but the beggar. But that unnamed person that was found in the Bible represents an unnamed group of people today that's burning in hell, that we have never met, that we do not know. And you say, well, how can I know? You can't know all of them. We're not going to know everyone's name. That's not the important part about it. It's the idea that we ourselves live according to God's will. And even though our names may not be recognized by maybe just the few that know us, but they don't need to be recognized because we have a God in heaven that knows us and that loves us and that cares about us. And he has a plan for our lives. And when I read these in Hebrews chapter number 11, and I see that word others, and it counts for so many, and I even can think about how it counts in generations that we live in today, how it encourages me to just stay faithful. Let's look here in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you're not too familiar with the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith because it has mentioned many of the most famous Bible characters. They're writing about it and they're writing about them. And then they come to verse number 32. In verse number 32, he says, "What shall I say more? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell." And then they begin to name off a few other giants of the faith: Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David, also and Samuel and of the prophets. So they're trying to just not leave anybody out. But obviously they're going to leave somebody out because they don't know everyone's names, but from the stories. But it says in verse 33, and that's the key word, through faith. That's how they live, is through faith. "Through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to dead, raised to life again." Now, I think that's giving a description of many that have names. Obviously, it's referring to the things at verse number 32, but also is describing not only that, it's talking about other Bible characters, because it says women who received their dead raised to life again. None of those in that story in verse number 32 saw that happen. So I think it's reference to another group of people. But then it says, after that, in verse number 35, "And others." And I think about that "others." And I think about, we read these words and we see the torture that they faced. Look what it says. You said torture. Well, you read it, and it actually says, "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance." How many people throughout time had the opportunity to recant, to say something bad about God, and they could go free? Most of the times, the persecutors will do that. Deny Christ or die. And they're saying the others, they're lumping them all together, but they're all each individuals. They're all souls. They're all people who have loved the Lord so much that they were willing to give their lives or face these things. This is a persecution template. Look what it says. "And others." Don't let that pass. It's not just anybody. "Others who were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. And others," once again, "had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy." I love that phrase. Amen. The world wasn't worthy of that testimony. God is, but the world's not. The world hates the testimony sometimes. "They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that today's message, sermon, whatever you want to call it, the Bible, that it will inspire us. Inspire us that, yes, we might be that others group, but we can make a difference in someone's life. We can keep that unnamed person out of hell. We can help carry that one individual to the Lord. But Lord, that even though our names might not be in light, that we would not live our lives to try to cause attention to be drawn to us, but instead the attention would be drawn to our God, the one who is worthy of all praise and honor. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we pray that you work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to name a couple names here. And names that you're probably not familiar with, except for maybe some of my family members, or you've heard me say these names before. Bob Boyle, Missy Stoner, Louis Lee, Paul McClanahan, Eva Voschel, Jack Spicer. Now, to most of you, unless for some reason you have a connection there, those were all people that would be considered unnamed to you. But those were all people that were servants of the Lord that taught me growing up, that were patient with me. Some of them were teachers. One was a youth pastor. One helped me learn how to preach. many of them Sunday school classes, Sunday school teachers, people that you're probably never ever going to meet, people that you're never probably ever going to, some are already have gone off to be with the Lord. At least one of them have that I know of. But people who loved the Lord, who served the Lord and was faithfully serving for years, and they impacted my life. Now, I could say other people's names that impacted my life. I could tell you about preachers who have made a difference in my hearts and life over the years. And you're going to say, oh, yeah, I know that person. I know that person. And sometimes people like to talk about those preachers, and there is honor that's due, or a missionary and the different people that impacted my life, our parents, and you've met my parents, all those different things. But those are unnamed people, unless you've heard me give testimony about the difference they made in my life, people's names who you probably never heard before. But they impacted my life for the Lord. And my challenge today through this message is, yes, we may remain unknown, unnamed to the world, but we are known by God, and we are also known by those who help us, who we help. But it's not as important to help those that know who we help know us, but instead to live a life that God can bless so God can be made known unto them. And so I like this thought. And once again, it's a challenge to go throughout the week and look at your Bible and go through them and think about, well, this person's name never have it, or this person's name. It's the reality is there is over 8 billion people's names in the world. And how many people's names do you know? How many people can you personally say, that's this person, that's this person? Maybe a few thousand. Yeah, I recognize that person. I know that person's name. Maybe if you talk about people that you don't know personally, but you know from the TV, maybe 100,000 people. But in billions of names, there's many, many unnamed people in the world. Just like there's unnamed people. And there's many believers and Christians today that are unnamed, that are serving. So we're going to go through this passage pretty quickly. If I was going to preach all four services on this week, I probably would do it a little bit differently. But I do want to just address a few things here so we can go and we can look at this. Most of us have been influenced. There was a quote that I think it was a preacher that said, most of us have been influenced in our lives by some great names. Perhaps your pastor is well known, or maybe you have made some important decisions underneath the preaching of a household name in the ministry. But I dare say there are others who also greatly impacted your life, as my others I mentioned. Some of these others in our life have never been heard of, but it was through their faithful life and testimony that lives have been changed over and over. These others without a name at the end of Hebrews chapter 11 is someone who I respect. And every time I read through my Bible and I see that passage, I say, I want to be like that. I don't care about who knows my name. I just want to serve the Lord. The first thing I want you to think is a persecution template. And we're going to go through, and you could very easily go through and make this sound very dramatic. They were tortured, and they didn't accept the deliverance. Cruel mockings and scourgings, bond of imprisonment, stones sawn asunder. We could describe all those things. Slain with the sword, they wander. And we could describe all those things, but it's not what the message is about today. But there is persecution that is faced for people who want to love the Lord, people who want to do God's will. The Bible says, "Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution." Acts chapter 8 tells us that this persecution was something that many times God would use for the furtherance of the gospel. They stoned Stephen, and stoning Stephen, it says that the gospel went forth. Everyone left Jerusalem but the disciples or the apostles, and they all went forth preaching and teaching the gospel. And we begin seeing what happens in Samaria and out in the desert, and guess continues on growing and growing until now today all across the world. We know the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand that this is something that we will face. We're not unlike other believers. There are times we will face. Even the great Apostle Paul talked about burdens in his life. He talked about wanting to get rid of that thorn in his flesh. And he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. So I want you to understand that others, if you live for God, you're going to suffer persecution. It's going to happen. And as you suffer persecution, remember that God can use that persecution. His grace is sufficient for you. And I sit there and I read this, and I don't want to minimize it, because it is things that inspire us when we hear these stories and we see these stories. It's like, they were torture, they were cruel mockings. It's like, what causes us to stop serving the Lord? Many of us are not going to face those things. Maybe the next generation, maybe the children in the back are going to face those things as we lose religious and spiritual liberties. Maybe, maybe not. But that is definitely certain. Or maybe if they go to a foreign field where it's illegal to preach the name of Jesus Christ, it might cost them their lives. But as of right now, we have faced some persecution, but the torturing part, the trial of cruel mockings, maybe, scourgings, probably not, the bounds of imprisonment, no, being stoned, no, sawn asunder, slain with the sword, all those things are things that I don't want to minimize, but at the same time, they went through those things for who? They went through those things with God, and God says, I took and I used those things. Remember, Paul was delivered at different times, but there's also the time where Paul laid down his life for the cause of Christ too. It doesn't always that people are going to be saved from it. And when I read these verses, it's like, there is persecution. There is a template that happens with persecution. There is a little phrase that we skipped over the last couple of times when we read it, found in verse number 37. So there is a persecution template. This is a probable temptation, a probable temptation. Look what it says, verse 37. They were stoned and were sawn asunder. Those next two words were tempted. Tempted. What were they tempted to do? Now, once again, we're not shown, we're not 100% sure, but we all face temptations each and every single day. So those temptations could be to not to sin or to not have lustful thoughts, not to do this and not to do that. But when they go through this whole list, it reminds me, it's placed right there in a minute, they were tempted to what? Stop. In my mind, that would have been, I mean, if the stonings are coming and the sawing asunder is coming and the scourgings and the cruel mockings and, as those that they were tempted to, I think they would be tempted to stop. Quitting is easy. Quitting truly is easiest. The easiest thing to do in a battle is to run away from it. It takes an extra measure of God's strength and grace to stay faithful in a battle. And God commands us to stay faithful. He says, moreover, it's required that a man be found faithful. And we've even been learning in our children's church the last 2 weeks. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 2 Peter 3:17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It's the point is, what were they tempted to do? They were tempted to quit. And is that something that's easy? It is. It would be easy to do. The Christian life gets difficult. The Christian life gets hard. It gets difficult. You face certain things. It's a temptation to quit. But they're saying here, these others, they're written in the Word of God. They're not given names, but they didn't quit. They continued on. They were being steadfast. Most of the martyrs of the Christian history were given a chance to recant. But in almost all cases, the torture prior to their execution was brutal. It was inhumane, sometimes for months, sometimes for years. They endured these tortures, and our human experience would tell us that they would have been tempted to quit. So often today, the slightest unkindness or a lack of appreciation tempts us to throw in the towel, but it doesn't take any fortitude or courage to quit. It takes fortitude and courage to trust the Lord in the situation. Now, it's important that we quench the fiery darts of the devil. This past week in Ephesians chapter 6, we talked about the whole armor of God, and we talked about, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. One of the lessons had a little skit, and I had the opportunity to throw darts at Mr. Todd in it, because it was something that the devil would throw different things to try to discourage him. And one of the parts of the skit, he acted like he got hurt. The other part of the skit, he had on the armor of God, had the shield of faith, and he was blocking the darts. There's the quenching that's involved. And we must understand that if we're going to put on the whole armor of God, and if we're going to fight this, we must realize we must fight this fiery dart that's called discouragement. Or the fiery dart is to quit. The darts, they come in all shapes. They come in all sizes. And they're coming, and when your fears are bigger than your faith, you will quit. When your fears are bigger than your faith, they will quit. That's where the shield of faith comes in. That's why we take it. By taking the shield of faith, every one of those darts can be quenched. God says in 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You look at Hebrews chapter 2, the same page probably in your Bible, 12 verses 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider what he went through. That's what those others did. They continued on because they consider what he went through. And we fight in the same lesson and skit that we did with the young people. We talked about how Jesus took up the sword of the Spirit when he said to the devil three different times in Matthew 4, it is written, it is written, it is written. How do we quench these fire darts? With the shield of faith. How do we fight and combat it? It's with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Wherefore, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto to the word thy word. So with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So the next thing I want you to think about, not only is it a persecution template and a probable temptation, it's a purpose tenacity. A purpose tenacity. I don't think this happened on accident. Staying faithful, being steadfast, is not something that's just going to happen just because you want it to. I think it's something that's going to happen because of the fact we have a resolve that with the Lord's help and the Lord's strength, we're going to continue on. So there's a few things I would like to, that's point number one is those who served, but names were never mentioned. Those who served, but names were never mentioned. Second thing I want you to think about, and we will move quickly because I know for the sake of time, but unknown to the world, but known to God. Unknown to the world, but known to God. This is cool in my mind. Even though I do not know probably anybody's name that lives in Papua New Guinea besides the Odisons, God knows every person's name there. Not only does God know every person's name there, God actually knows the number of hairs that are on their head. And God loves and cares about them. In the book of Acts, we looked at this earlier. We talked about the Macedonian vision, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. For you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was there. Paul wanted to go into Asia. God said no. And the Bithynia, and he said no. And then this Macedonian call was happened. Do you know what happens in the Macedonian call? We showed you a little bit that about how the first person he reached was from that Asian area, and that Lydia. But if you go and you read in Ephesus, he stays for 2 years. He receives the Macedonian call, and in Ephesus, it says that while he taught in Ephesus for those 2 years, all the Esau was reached. Where he said no to go to begin with, they were reached later on. Why is that? Because God knew who was going to be in Asia. God knew who was going to be in Macedonia. God knew where all these different areas and this people were going to be at. That even though he said no once, God had prepared, trained workers now to go into the area that Paul originally wanted to go into. Now it says he goes in and he reaches out to them by the teaching and preaching that happens in Ephesus for 2 years. What an amazing thing. How does God do that? God knows all that. He knows every single person's name, every single. And so to me, this call is amazing. First thing I want you to remind yourself of is underneath this is unknown to the world, but known to God is he knows you. He says to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He knows who you are. Before you're ever born, he knows who you are. He knows your name. We hear that song sometimes saying that he knows your name. He knows. Sometimes you might seem forgotten. Sometimes you might seem unnamed. Sometimes you might think no one cares. There is a God in heaven that knows your name and that he cares. Not only does he not just does he not only know you, he also values you. Luke 12, 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. He values you. Not only does he know your name, he knows the number of hairs on your head, and he values you. Not only does he value, he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So I want you to think about it. They are unknown to the world, but they are known by God. Not only just this part, but think about it. Those who do not know Christ are unknown. Like I said, I don't know the people's names in Papua New Guinea except for Jack, Pastor Jack, that works with Brother Odison, and that name just came to my mind. But besides that, I don't know who they are, but God does, and God loves them, and that's why God sends people like the Odisons to them. I only know our missionaries that we support in Brazil, and I know the Severas. I remember the Heads, and I know the Barretts, and I know the... There's one more, too, right? Shaw, right? How can you forget that? As you get old, you forget the Shaws. I don't really know anybody individually besides that. But that's God does, and God cares about them. He loves them. So think about that. All the people in the world. You say, Pastor, how am I supposed to reach all the people in the world in the unnamed areas that I don't know their name? Well, you're not going to more than likely go to Brazil unless God calls you, or to... Papua New Guinea or to Africa or wherever, unless God calls you. But there's a lot of people in your world that you don't know their name, that do need to know Christ, that God gives us a calling to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. There is. And I sit there and I go to our vacation Bible school and I see children that are there. And sometimes they're children that I don't always know their name. It takes me sometimes two or three times before I see them. That's why we have them wear buttons. They do that on purpose for me, so I can see what their name is and how old they are to make sure they're in the right class. But I think about them. Sometimes we're discouraged because of their home lives. Sometimes their parents don't go to church. Sometimes they come from different backgrounds, different areas. And we look at that and we're wondering, but I look at them and I don't know their names. Sometimes we try to get into their homes and talk to their parents and talk to them about the Lord. But every person has a story. Every person has parents. Every person and all those different things. And sometimes we think that children don't always act the way we think they should in church. And we want this and we want that. But sometimes we forget that they're a product of their environment. And that doesn't give them an excuse. But sometimes if they're not taught in school properly or taught in home properly, sometimes if they've never been in church before, how are they going to know how to behave? But I thought about that. And I thought about an unnamed person in the Bible that spoke to my heart. It was David's child that died. David, remember because of the sin of David and Bathsheba? Unnamed child. But he didn't do anything to cause that to happen. And I'm not saying that as a person gets older, we want to reach him and there's accountability. I get all that. But David's child that was unnamed, I'm sure he was named by David, but it's not mentioned in the Bible. It reminds me of there are so many people out there in the world that do not know the truth and that need the truth and have an understanding. Doesn't matter from what country or what part of town they're from, how much money they have, how much money they don't have. There are so many people out there that do not know the truth that is being... The devil is just ruling and reigning in our time with all the different liberal things that go out there, all the different attacks of the media, all the things that attack the Word of God and attack the truths of the Bible. Once again, I'm for the Bible, and whatever the Bible says is what I believe. And so I thought about another unnamed Bible character, that baby's name that was never named. It reminded me of all the many children. David talked about how he's going to go to him, talking about because of the child and because he never had the opportunity, no, went to heaven. I understand all that. But how about us? There's unnamed people around us. There's many named people we know, but think about the masses that we see out there. Yes. We're supposed to reach them. Yes. We're supposed to somehow do our part. And I get it. You say, I can't be worried about that. Well, don't be worried about those in Papua New Guinea. Be worried about those on your street. Yeah. Be worried about those in your city. And if God calls you to Papua New Guinea, then be worried about those. Pray for those that are working with this. He loves you. The third point, and we'll make this the final point. God wants to be known. God wants to be known. So now we see the unknown by the world, but known by God. And we also see those that were unnamed or these others that served, even though the world didn't know them. God wants to be known. God has created this world in a way that shows and demonstrates there's their God. There is a divine creator. The Bible says in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46, David is there getting ready to take Goliath's head off, literally. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Here's the reason, he says, that all the earth may know, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Everybody that day knew that there was something different about David. He wanted to make sure they knew it wasn't his great slingshot ability. It was the God he served. And so that's what I'm trying to say. Make our God known to those who do not know him. That's the desire there. So all those unnamed Bible characters, and like I said, as you go through those devotions this week, as you're reading through this, it's back there on that little round table. We only have one set up this week because of those Barrett's displays over there. So don't forget it for those that go out that door. It's going to give you just a reminder. Look, these are others that that were not named. And then you look at the widow, you look at the lad, you look at those that were born in four, consider the man that was in hell. All those different things that happened. People that were not named, but made a huge difference, an impact for eternity. There is one name you'll probably recognize because he probably had a really big impact in my life, Gene Stevens. Now, some of you would be like, oh, I still don't know who that is. No, you probably wouldn't. I saw Mr. Stevens last month when I went to hear some preaching in his hometown for a few minutes. Mr. Stevens is in his 80s. Mr. Stevens was my Sunday school teacher in the 5th and 6th grade years. Mr. Stevens, if you want to talk, we try to talk about being a teacher that uses and keeps the children's attentions, people that use pictures and all these other things. Mr. Stevens tried his best, but he's very monotone. Speaks actually very softly. But I tell you, one thing that reminded me about him, he was super faithful. Super faithful. Week after week after week, he was always there. Tears in his eyes when he was speaking. As a child, I look at that and listen to him teach. And it's like, what's he crying about? And it's because of his love for the Lord and his love for his children. You know, he invested as much as he could in our lives. He would invite us over to his house. He had an in-ground swimming pool. And he wasn't wealthy or anything, but he had an in-ground swimming pool. And we would go over, and every once in a while, if we reach a certain goal or something like that, we would go swimming over there. And I tell you, every week that I knew him in our church, he was always at visitation. Now, visitation over the years becomes tiring for some, and it's to some, they don't understand the call, and they do it their own ways, but schedule weekly visitation. Now, I didn't always go like I should as a teenager and things like that, but the weeks that they had church visitation, Mr. Stevens, when I was there, except for maybe once or twice, he was always there. It was neat to be in Dover the other day, and Dover, Delaware, to hear the preaching that was going on at a conference, and I got to spend a day there. It was really nice. The conference went all week, but I got to go up there for one day, heard four really good messages. Mr. Stevens was there, and while they're there, while they're preaching, they go out each day, and they go door knocking. And one of the preachers was there talking about Mr. Stevens, probably in his mid-80s at this point in time, who was out with them in the heat door knocking in his mid-80s. And I think that's wonderful. And once I went to the preacher and I said, you know, as a child, he was my Sunday school teacher and he was famous for that back then. I remember walking down the streets sometimes and there would be people that may be asking for things or asking for money other times. And he would always take the time to talk to them. Maybe give something, but many times give the gospel. And I didn't spend a lot of time with him. I'm not saying this every day. I'm not even lifting him up to say he's perfect because he's not. He's not perfect. But he is one of those unnamed people that no one else will probably ever meet or know that made a difference in my life. So my encouragement to you today is that unnamed person. I know Gene Stevens' name because he made an impact in my life. Is there someone in your life that you know has helped you that might be unknown to the world, but they helped you, so you know them? And once again, I'm not talking about pastors per se or household names. I know many of us enjoy Brother Paulie here recently, and he is somebody that we all enjoy hearing. Well, if I use that name, people say, yeah, I was helped this past time when he spoke at our church. He helped me. Yeah, so I'm talking about the people who whose name's probably never be in lights, be on headlines, be on a postcard somewhere. Maybe that not even as talented, because that's what I would say about Mr. Stevens. He was a very humble man, never super talented. I'm sure he was an electrician. He had other talents, but speaking-wise, never super talented speaking, but he loved the Lord, and he impacted my life. And now he has three, he had one, two, three, four, five children. Three of them are in the ministry also, maybe five or six children. One is handicapped, so he's obviously not. But at the same time, it was an unnamed person. I want to be that unnamed person for others. I want to be that person, even though I don't have to, I know the pastor, I know I get my name on the track, things like that. That's silliness in my mind. I want to help others to think highly of God. So let's go back to that first thought. What I want, I care more what others think about God than what they think about me. And so if I want God to be lifted up, I must lift God up in my life. It might mean that sometimes I don't always get to act the way that I want to. Would I like to sometimes blow up and tell people off? Would I like to sometimes dismiss people and just ignore them? Would I like to, fleshly, of course, we all do want to get upset at times. Always, but we want to do things for the glory of God. So as you read this passage this week, whether you do the devotions or not, you go back and you think about those others that did not have a name. Those others that did not have a name. What were they doing it for? The furtherance of the gospel. You know, what's the gospel? The gospel is the good news. The fact that we're all sinners and that we're all headed to a horrible place called hell is bad news. But the good news was that God loved us and that he sent his son down to the cross to die for us. And Jesus came and lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross. He was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. And that we now have an opportunity to know. The Bible says that you have eternal life by putting your faith and trust in him. By faith and repentance. By believing in him. And by turning to God. We can also be on our way to heaven. Praise the Lord for that. If you're here this morning and you're not sure if you died today that you would go to heaven, be like one of those young people this last week that chose to believe in him. After hearing and understanding the truths, believed that Jesus Christ did die for them, and they turned to him. You can also this morning. And if you're here and you're a believer, praise the Lord. We got a lot to praise him for and got a lot to thank him for. Think about those unnamed people, the thousands, the millions, maybe billions over the thousands of years that believed in God, that served him, that never got their name mentioned, but they faithfully served him through faith. Don't worry about notoriety or fame. Worry about serving him. Let's pray.